The wise men here, amazing, amazing narrative here about what happened. You know, the Bible says, as was read in our hearing, verses 1 and 2, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews?" As was read to us, and as Scripture says, and as Ben pointed out, born king. That's who we want to talk about today, the one who was born king. That's where we want to spend some time and deal with these wise men. Because God led these non-Jewish men, these Gentile rulers, powerful, wealthy. I mean, not everybody could travel like they did. And they didn't hop on a plane or jump in a car or get on a train. Probably rode camels, right? Or at least that's what we see in the different manger scenes and that sort of thing. Camels walked, horses. Took a long time. We don't know exactly where they came from, how long they traveled. But God led these Gentile rulers to worship Jesus Christ. And God is still at work to lead people to worship Jesus Christ. I'm not saying to be saved. That too. But salvation is not the end. Salvation is the beginning of our struggle to fight sin and love and follow and worship Jesus. God led these Gentile rulers to worship Christ, but he included this in the Scripture so that we could learn from it. And we can learn because God accomplished so very much more. You know, it's interesting. For us to affirm this morning on this last Lord's Day of 2020 that in God's own good time, he rules and overrules all things for his glory. And so much of our struggle with faith is about timing. And we know that one day, if we've trusted Christ as Savior, we know that one day we'll be in heaven. Do we want to go to heaven? Yes. All God's people would say, yes, I want to go to heaven. The problem is not getting to heaven or going to heaven. It's what's going to happen between now and then. The timing and whatever kind of struggle there could be. Like scleroderma or whatever else there could be. The timing. But God does his work in his own good timing. It's always good, but it's always his. And we often struggle as we wait for him. So I want you to look with me at what God did then. And I hope and pray that as we look at what God did then in them, that we will learn to perhaps more perceptively understand what God is doing in our lives so that we can perceive his hand in our lives, because he is most definitely working in our lives as well. A couple of points to just kind of hang the fruit on, some good solid branches. Number one, the wise men knew God's promise. They knew God's promise. They arrived in Jerusalem and asked the question, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Now let me ask you a question. What is the answer to that? You don't say it out loud. I don't want anybody embarrassed or anything, but if I were to ask the question, where was Jesus born? I mean, children in nursery classes and Sunday schools and children's church know this, right? Where was he born? He was born in Bethlehem. So here's a question. Why did the star bring them to Jerusalem? That's kind of interesting. I mean, they got to Bethlehem later. The star took them to Bethlehem after they left Jerusalem. It's very fascinating to think about that. They arrived in Jerusalem and they asked, where is he that is born King of the Jews? They knew God's word. They knew the prophecies of this coming Messiah. We might ask the question, how did they know? And here's the answer. We don't know how they knew. They certainly didn't have a copy of the scriptures like we would know it. They didn't. I mean, it's not like they looked it up on the internet. But they knew. Here's a truth to learn. What's important is not how we learn something. What's important is what we do with it. In other words, these three wise men, we could stop and think, how did they know about this promise and where were they and where'd they come from? And all those things can be helpful and can be important to imagine and to think about. But what really matters, what we can learn from this, is not really what they knew or how they knew or that they knew. It's what they did. They went to find the King of the Jews. They didn't just know that he would be born. They didn't just come and say, where is he, since the star brought them that far and right to there. They did not know the prophecy from Micah 5:2 that he would be born in Bethlehem, or certainly they wouldn't have needed the star and they wouldn't have needed to go to Jerusalem. Perfect. In God's perfect timing. They knew his promise, God's promise. They were looking for the fulfillment of what God had prophesied. They came to Jerusalem. They were not looking for some Roman Caesar. They weren't looking for some, you know, Jewish Herod. They weren't happy with when they came and talked about the King of the Jews. Is it not fascinating that verse 3 says, when Herod the what? The king. They come and they ask this question in Jerusalem, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And the King of the Jews, Herod, was not real happy that there was some kind of a competitor. Perhaps what Herod thought was, right here, here I am, come bring me your gifts and presents. No, he was not the one that they wanted. They were looking for God's promised king. What are you looking for? Maybe you're looking for a vaccination. Maybe you're looking for a raise. Maybe you're looking for a marriage partner. Maybe you're looking for, what came to your mind? What's in the blank there? What are you looking for? Look for the King of the Jews. Seek Jesus first, foremost, supremely, comprehensively. If you have him, I don't mean a savior. That, of course. But that's the beginning. That's not the end. Seek him today. Love him. Honor him. Seek him. If you have him today, now, I don't mean way back there on trusted Christ as Savior. I mean, if you're walking with him, if you're following him, if you love him, if he fills your heart, if it's fresh, vital, alive, living faith in Jesus, your friend that you're abiding in. If that's true, you don't need anything else. And if that's not true, there's nothing else that will satisfy. They were looking for the fulfillment of what God had promised. Why wasn't this Jewish Herod looking for this king prophesied in the Bible? Well, how is it that these Gentile rulers, the most unlikely ones, came some distance to Jerusalem and said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Why wasn't Herod already looking for this King of the Jews? How is it that the Bible says that when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled? And all Jerusalem with him. How is that? How is it that they had the scriptures more than Gentile rulers ever would? How is it that when they went, and we'll see here how they went, and they asked the chief priests and the scribes, well, where is he to be born? How is it that they knew, and yet all Jerusalem was living for this life, not the next, was living for what they could get rather than what they could give? How is it that all of Jerusalem was troubled about this? When in fact, it's the one we just sang about. Amazing. The same Bible facts that brought these wise men to Jerusalem are the same Bible facts that troubled Herod and all Jerusalem. So what do the Bible facts do for you? I mean, it could be that they don't do anything. It's just like water for ducks back. Yep, sang the songs before. I know all about the wise men. I know about the manger. I got the shepherds, the angels. Got it down. So what? That's just like having a cupboards and kitchen and refrigerator filled with food, but you don't eat it. Doesn't do you any good. Got to eat it, man. It's got to nourish you. It's got to strengthen you. It has to help you. That's what the Bible can do. But we got to take it in. We got to mix it with faith. And only then will it be a blessing to us. There was great knowledge in Jerusalem. But the knowledge of the scripture was matched by their great unbelief. They were unmoved. They were unchanged. Why? What was the problem? See, the problem was their humanity. And you and I have the same humanity. The problem was their humanity. We are so very capable of using our eyelids and keeping them closed to the light and to the truth. The heavens declare the glory of God, the Bible says. I mean, it's just a metaphor that I'm using to say, it's just the evidence of God's glory is everywhere. If we just look for him, but we tend to look at ourselves. But let me, before I move on, just establish, I trust, in our thinking that God's work is never hindered by people's unbelief and apostasy. Herod was troubled. All Jerusalem was troubled with him. But it didn't stop God from pulling this off. You could put it down. It did not stop. I mean, he brought these wise men. He got them to the manger. They found, or to the house, you will say here, if it was birthplace, there's reasons to think that they were, that Jesus was much older, and then there's lots of reasons to think he wasn't, but we understand that they didn't go to the manger. The scripture says that, went to a house. But God got them there. And all of Jerusalem, right there near Bethlehem, they were just troubled. Herod never went there. From what we know from Scripture, God's work is not hindered by his people's unbelief and apostasy. God has a plan, and God is doing that plan. Our unbelief is significant, but it only hinders us. Don't hurt God's work at all. God is not dependent upon us. We're dependent on him. We really need to work hard to keep that straight in our day. So, the wise men knew God's promise, but how did they find baby Messiah? Look at this. The wise men followed God's star. You know this very well. I don't need to read it to you again, I suppose. But they followed God's star. This star appeared at the right place. They said in verse 2, "We have seen his star in the east. And are come to worship him." It appeared at the right place and it appeared at the right time. Herod, verse 7 says, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And we don't know what time the star appeared specifically, but we know this, that star appeared for those wise men to lead them to Jerusalem. How long did that take? I don't know. God knew. And God had that star appear to the wise men so that they prepared, they traveled, they arrived, and they found baby Jesus. Amazing to think of the timing there. This star led them to Jerusalem. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. They got to Jerusalem. They asked the question, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Verse 4, notice this. It says about Herod that when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. How did they answer that? They quoted scripture. They quoted Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. It's right there in our text. Verse 6 was read to us. Thou Bethlehem, talking to a town in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. You're just a small, insignificant city, but that's going to change one day because you will be the birthplace of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus the Christ. Herod demanded an answer, and the answer came from Scripture. And then, watch this. Verse 8, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. Somebody's got a phone they need to turn off that you must not know it's on. Did you ever, I might as well say this, I remember being in a deacon's meeting years ago. None of our current deacons were on this group. And somebody's phone went off like that, and it just went and went and went. And finally I said, hey guys, somebody's got a phone going. Guess whose phone it was? Were you there, Tom? You might remember that. It was mine. I had gotten a new phone. It's like, you know, yeah. So I was very angry at myself. No, not really. But yeah, it's funny how that, yeah, and we don't. How is it that we hear everybody else's phone better than our own? Okay, come on back, okay? All right, this is not a joke, but come on back and we'll get back to this. So the star led them to Jesus. Where was I? Verse 8. He sent them to Bethlehem. Look at very carefully here. Verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Why is it that this star led them to Jerusalem? Why did this star not lead them directly to Bethlehem? Well, the answer is obvious. It's because Herod and all Jerusalem and the chief priests and the scribes knew all about the prophecy. But they were unmoved. It didn't help them. It didn't change them because they didn't mix it with faith. Doesn't mean that they said, that's not true. It's that they just ignored it. They were unmoved. That can happen to you and me at Christmas time or any other time. Where we're not moved. And by the way, what should we do if we find that we're really not moved and our heart has gotten kind of crusty a little bit, you know, a little dried out? Well, you know what you do? It's just like when you have Panera Bread and you take it home and it was baked on Saturday morning and maybe you're going to try to eat it tomorrow morning, but it's kind of just not so fresh. What do you do with it? You put it in the microwave, or you put it, or whatever. You warm it up a little bit, perhaps, you know. That's what we have to do with our hearts when they get crusty and cold and stuff. We gotta put it in the microwave. This is the microwave. You need to spend time with the Word of God and prayer and go back. We need to admit our hearts are crusty. They've gotten cold. They've gotten, whoa, man, I just went through Christmas, and it was all about gifts, and it was all about cards, and it was all about food, and it was all about food, and it was all about, yeah, and we go, and on, it's about friends and family and decorations, all that. Hey, fine, have fun with it. That's fine. But don't let your heart be unmoved by Jesus. It's, by the way, it's not too late, right? It's not too late. We can spend time with the Lord Jesus and love him and enjoy him. The star caused great joy, verse 10 says. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Isn't that amazing to think? Notice that it says, this star, verse 9, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And immediately the narrative goes away from Jesus and goes back to the star. It stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And yet the star was just the means to an end of finding Jesus. Why does it say they rejoiced with the star? Because they never would have found Jesus without the star. That was God's plan. That was God's will. That was God's way. God uses means. We should acknowledge means. We should acknowledge people and means and situation that God puts in our lives to make us what he wants us to be and to acknowledge those things. Some followed the star. Some ignored the star. But God's will and God's work was never hindered. Are you following God or are you ignoring what God says? It's just simple truths that we can learn from this to probe our hearts. So the wise men knew God's promise, they followed God's star, and the wise men worshipped God's son. Verse 11 tells us how they responded to finding Jesus. Did you notice verse 11? When they were coming to the house, the Bible says they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down. They worshipped him. When they'd opened their treasuries, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They fell down and worshipped. Let me ask you something. Do you ever fall down and worship Jesus? Do you ever acknowledge him and take a knee, or maybe even on your face? Do you ever do that? You might, if you don't, you might try it. It doesn't impress God at all, but it can sometimes make a big impression on us to remember who we're talking to. We can be so flippant with God today. It is so easy to just act like, you know, we're going to give God a high five. No, we've lost sight of who God is. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I fear that we have become such a casual, irreverent, profane culture today that it leeches over onto his children if we're not careful. And we act like God is my friend. And you might say, well, Jesus said, I'm not calling you servants, I'm calling you friends. That's wonderful. Isn't it great that he calls us friends? Isn't it good for us to remember that that's just because he calls us friends? But he is the Lord of glory. Read, if you're reading with us in the Minor Prophets now, read the book of Revelation. Read Revelation 2 and 3 about the seven churches. Read what this one who calls his children friends, read the rest of the story of who he is. And God tells us that we should come to him with reverence and godly fear. And we should serve him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And the clear implication is that we can serve him, think we're serving him, when in fact we can lose sight of him. They came in and they fell down and they worshiped. They gave offerings. Wonderful, amazing story. They had opened their treasures. They presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Their treasures, they opened. They presented them to him. They gave offerings. This is a wonderful time to encourage you to give offerings. But let me tell you about someone else who did. We've been praying at Hanover Baptist Church for some months about our missions giving here. It's been on the prayer bulletin, and we've prayed about it. And it really has declined. But part of the reason, I think a significant part of the reason, is that we always have a big emphasis on missions in March. And we did this year, and we have it all planned for the next year too. If the Lord tarries and we can meet and all of that, we've got missionaries all scheduled and lots of planning going on. But here's the thing. The missions really decline, the missions giving. Why? Because every March, we encourage people, you all know this, we encourage people to make a new promise. It's all anonymous. It's between the individual and God to give as unto the Lord through this church for the missionaries. But we didn't do that this year. We planned to, but we got shut down. And we probably could have done it with Zoom. We probably could have done it in time. But of course, we thought that all the lockdown with COVID would last a week or two or three. I remember in March when we were told we weren't to meet, March the 15th, didn't we even meet that night? And of course, we went right to Zoom and all that. But I remember at the time thinking, it never occurred to me that we wouldn't be back together for Easter, just a few weeks later. And now Christmas has come and gone. The point is that there were not new promises and missions the missions giving has dropped. Now, all the missionaries are paid, and we'll keep paying them no matter what, God helping. But I came to the, I was here yesterday and there was no mail, and I got the mail today and I came in and there was this envelope there. And I thought, well, this is interesting. It was just a regular envelope. It had name and address on it. I didn't have any idea who this person was. I've never heard of them before. Don't know the address. Never met them. Don't know them. Opened it up. There was a check in there. Interesting. This is pretty rare. It's not rare to get a bill in the mail, but to get a check in the mail. Well, that was interesting. There's a little post-it note on it. It said, this is a one-time contribution that you can use as you see fit, maybe for missions or a family in need. That was really cool. Would you like to know how much it was? It was $2,000. So that'll help our missions giving. What a blessing. I don't have any idea who that person is, but we'll knock on her door probably today and just love on her and be grateful. You know, these wise men went to great expense. They took a lot of time off work, we might say. They traveled to Jerusalem. They went to Bethlehem. They put a lot into that. And then they gave these gifts. You know, you might think about that. Not only do we fall down and worship, and you might not ever be able to fall down physically. I don't know your health, that sort of thing. The issue is not to fall down physically. It's in our hearts, but sometimes it can help us in our hearts. But you know, it's really possible for us to just go through the motions, and maybe you tithe your income and you are so diligent and consistent with that, and that's great. And maybe you give extra money to missions, and maybe you give extra money when we have guest speakers, and maybe you give extra money to others, and maybe you give all kinds of stuff in a wonderful, disciplined way. But you know, you might think about it and just ask, when was the last time you just gave an extra gift to Jesus? And don't do it because the church needs money, because we don't. Don't go out of here and say, well, I don't need it. We're going to put it. I hope you don't do that either. But it's not about the money. It's about our hearts. They gave offerings. Gentile rulers in Bethlehem. What if they had gone to Jerusalem and they talked to Herod and the rest, and when they left Jerusalem, they saw the star and they said, well, Herod's not coming. Why should we? I mean, all of Jerusalem is not going. I mean, the chief priests and the scribes, they just said Bethlehem, but they're unmoved. We might as well just fit in with the culture. I mean, this is the Jewish capital. These are the people that really know. This is a Jewish king. Who is he? This isn't our religious book anyway. Let's just chill and fit in. That's what a lot of us can do today. We just chill and fit in to our culture, our Christian culture. No. Let's seek the Lord Jesus. Are you worshiping and giving offerings to Jesus? Are you thrilled with him in a fresh, living way? Or maybe do you find that your heart has kind of left its first love? And you think, you know what we really need is we need it. We need a program in our church. We need a more exciting worship experience in our church. That's what we need. We really need to change this or that or the other thing. No. These are heart issues. Let us seek the Lord while he may be found. Let us love him with all of our hearts. How is it that the scripture says, when they were come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him? How is it that Herod did not come? Where was Herod? Where were the chief priests? Where were the scribes? Where was everyone from Jerusalem? They all knew about the star. They all knew about the prophecy, but only the wise men acted on it. My brother and sister, the providence of God, the overruling hand of God, that God works his perfect will in his own good time, does not remove our responsibility to make wise choices, to make decisions, to make willing choices, to consciously think, I may not know all the details about all of 2020 and COVID and race and politics and all this. I may not know the future. I may not know when Jesus is coming back. I may not know about 2021. I may not know about all of that. But here's what I know. I want to love Jesus with all of my heart. You can do that. Man, woman, boy, girl, what actions are you taking that prove, that demonstrate, that evidences your faith in God and His perfect providence in your life? God provided perfect prophecies and even a star to lead people to Jesus Christ and worship Him, but so few came. How sad. God has provided the perfect answer for every sin and every sinner. Jesus died and rose, but so few come. What will you do with Jesus? Ignore Him? Dismiss Him? We'll love Him and follow Him. Let's do that, amen? Let's love Him. Let's follow Him today.